Monday the 8th of December, Yud Aleph Kislev, Rabbi Anthony Manning, The Prohibition of Going Onto Ha Bayis.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi. Apart from the fact that Rabbi Bozor has mentioned that I've got the wrong date on top of the sheet, and I have a day ahead of myself, which is probably a good thing to be, we are, I think, all set to talk about the prohibition of going onto Har HaBayis. I think I picked this topic because the last few parshas over the previous weeks have all really focused very strongly on Har HaBayis, with Avram and the Akedah, with Yitzchak and the Soda, with Yaakov and the Chaloim in last week's parsha, and with Rashi, who mentions clearly that the Avos all related very strongly to Har HaBayis. Avram was a Har, Yitzchak as a Soda, and Yaakov as a Bayis. Therefore, I think it's incumbent upon us really to maybe spend a few minutes focusing on Har HaBayis, the Chashivas of Har HaBayis, and what's going on with this very important place in the world. Now, one of the reasons, the other reasons that I mention this today, is that a few of my students have been coming up to ask me about this, and I myself noticed on Sukkot, when I was there at the Kotel and Chol HaMoed Sukkot, the queue for the people going into the Kotel was smaller than the queue of people going up onto Har HaBayis. And many of the people in the queue going up onto Har HaBayis appeared to be religious people. And my students have also mentioned this to me and have said to me, well, what's going on? I thought this was prohibited, and therefore I have to spend a little bit of time maybe educating some of my own students in Eretz Yisrael about this particular issue, because it is a very serious problem in Halacha, and I thought maybe for us to spend a few minutes looking through the Shaila, how it's dealt with in the Rishonim, and getting an understanding of the Kedusha of Har HaBayis is probably a useful exercise. I would add very clearly at the beginning, this is not a Halacha L'maisa question. Halacha L'maisa, all the Gedolei Yisrael, without exception, have haskened that it's completely offered to go onto Har HaBayis. There is no question about that, so don't bother putting in a Shaila to anyone in particular in Israel, because you can guarantee what the answer will be. Not only that, but not only the Gedolei Yisrael in the Haredi Olam, but pretty much all the leaders of all the religious movements in the Orthodox world have clearly come out and said that there is no halachic permission to go onto Har HaBayis. Rav Kook was clear about this, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Shlita, you should have a Refuah Shleima, is clear that it's Asur. Rav Avram Shapiro from America's Arab was also clear that it's completely Asur. So this is really a consensus across the board of the people who are the big poskim. The Shaila is therefore why people do it. What's going on? Where are they coming from? We're having maybe a little bit look at some of the problems that make this such a problematic area. I've prepared for you a little sheet here. The topic really demands much more than half an hour to get into the full inyonim, and a lot more maps and charts and things like that. Maybe on another occasion we can have a whole seminar on it. But for now we have what we have. Hopefully the sheet will be on the website and people will be able to access that when they're listening to the shiur as well. The three or four main issues really we have to get to grips with are as follows. First of all, understanding what the prohibition is and the understanding of the Tara of Har HaBayis. Secondly, understanding the location of the Beit HaMikdash on the Temple Mount. This is not such a straightforward thing, and we'll see soon that there are a few different shitots, a few different shitas as to what's going on here. Thirdly, understanding whether, and looking at the Rambam, we'll see there's a key pivotal Rambam, what is the status of the Kedusha of Har HaBayis today? We no longer have a Beit HaMikdash on Har HaBayis. Does Har HaBayis retain its Kedusha, or does it lose its Kedusha pending the construction of the third Beit HaMikdash? And finally, even if one were to have a half a minute to go onto Har HaBayis, the kind of preparations and the problems involved in those preparations which would need to be entered into make the issue extremely complex and problematic. Let's have a look here. I brought you in A, on the sheet here, a diagram which I'm sure you're very familiar with. It's a schematic layout of the Beis HaMikdash with the west on the top and the east on the bottom. Our Kotel HaMaravi is pretty much on the top left, where that white writing is, you can see. And the Beis HaMikdash basically increases in Kedusha as you go through from Har HaBayis itself. Har HaBayis is the outline of the outside black line. As you go through, moving ever westwards, you go in through the Soireg, into the Chel, into the little area within the fence, through into the Ezros Noshim, through onwards into the Ezros Yisrael, through the Shaar Nikanor, through on into the Ezros Koyanim, eventually the Ulam, the Heichal, into the Kodesh Kedoshim, which is obviously at the far west point of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah in Kalim, which I brought you in source number one, is very clear that there is an ever increasing level of Kedusha as you go through. And we're going to just pick out of this Mishnah a few bits and pieces. If you look at number one, please, at the beginning, this is the Mishnah in Perek Aleph of Kalim. Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol Arot. So Eretz Yisrael has more Kedusha than the other countries of the world. Umahi Kedusha. So what is its Kedusha? Shemivim Imeda Ha'imer Ha'bikurim V'shtei Ha'lechem. All the various different korbanos, which can only be used, can only be made from the produce of Eretz Yisrael. This obviously has an advantage over other countries and a higher Kedusha. And then the Mishnah goes on into the Ari Mukav Chaima, which have walls around them at Yerushalayim itself. And I really want to focus on the little number four. I put these numbers in just to make the Mishnah a little bit easier to read. Look at number four in the middle of that Mishnah, the end of the third line. Har Habayis Mekudesh Mimen. So Har HaBayis has a higher Kedusha than Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim itself, of course, there was a special Kedusha. It was mutter to eat Masa Sheni there and other things as well, certain Koshin Kalim. But Har HaBayis is higher than that. She'ein Zavim V'Zavois Nidois V'Yolados Nichnasim L'Sham. The people who are excluded from entry onto Har HaBayis are Zavim and Zavois, different kinds of Tumah, for Zav and a Zava, and Nida, and a Yoledis is a woman who has had a child. Interestingly, he doesn't say in the Mishnah that a Tamimeis is prohibited from going onto Har HaBayis. That comes afterwards. Look at number 5. HaChel, walking into the Chel, Mekudesh Mimenu. The Chel is the little area within the fence surrounding the base of Mikdash. That is on a higher level of Kedusha. She'ein Ovdi Kachavim, V'Tamimeis, Nichnas in the Sham. Because the Tamimeis prohibition, people who are Tamimeis, are only prohibited from going that little bit further in to the actual precinct of the Beis HaMikdash, whereas the Har HaBayis itself is clear, there's no debate about this. A Tamei Mace, strictly speaking, is mutter to go onto Har HaBayis. In fact, a Mace itself, you're allowed to take a Mace itself onto Har HaBayis, and therefore the Tamei Mace issue, which of course is the critical one, I suppose, none of us are able to even have a Havamina of getting out of Tamei Mace, of Tumas Mace, that only affects the inner areas. Having said which, of course, the issue is not just one of, well, maybe yes, maybe no, there's a chi of koris involved. And this is really what makes the thing so problematic, that why anybody should be playing around, if you like, with questions as to this area. There is a very, very significant downside. Have a look at number 2. This is the mission of the beginning of Croesus. Shloshim v'sheish Croesus b'Torah. There are 36 chi of a koris in the Torah, and one of them is Habat le'mikdosh tameh. So the question is, at what stage in going into the Beis HaMikdash does this Chiyuv of Kores kick in? So if you flip over the page, you'll see in source number 3, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaMachira, he passes as follows. He says, Ezra Yisrael, once you're already in the Ezra Yisrael, further into the building, into the courtyard rather, Mukadeshis me Ezra's Nashim has more Kedusha than the Ezra's Nashim. She'ein mechusik Yipurim nichnas Hashem, because someone who has not yet brought their korban, who is waiting for the completion of their tarif process, is not allowed to go there. V'tamei she'nichnas l'sham chayiv koreh. For the first time, the Rambam here brings with entry to the Ezra's Yisrael area that a person is chayiv koreh. It's very mashma from the Rambam before she bring this down, that the chayiv koreh starts only when a person goes into the Beis HaMikdash area, into the Ezra's Yisrael. Now, that's not to minimize the prohibition of going on to Har HaBayis, Tami. That's clearly an Issa Doraisa to go on to the Har HaBayis. It's allowed. But it seems that the Chi of Koris only starts when a person actually gets into the Ezra's Yisrael. Now, which begs the question, exactly where is all of this, and how do we know? Because this is the big problem, really. And we'll see soon the Mishnah Berurah clearly brings down that because there is a suffix of Kares exactly where one's going, it's completely prohibited to go in there. But I've brought you on number, in C, number 4, a couple of interesting diagrams and the source from the Mishnah in Midas. See, if you go up to Har HaBayis, if you see a picture of Har HaBayis today, it's very clearly the Temple Mount area is much, much, much bigger than the original Har HaBayis. That's very clear. Look at source number 4. Har HaBayis hayachamish meyas amma al chamish meyas amma. Har HaBayis, says the Mishnah, was 500 amas square. And he says, Rova Min Hazroim, the biggest area open was in the south, and that's how we saw on number one. Sheini Loi Min HaMizrach, the second biggest open area is in the east. Shlishi Min HaSfoin, there's a third on the north. And the Miuta Min HaMarav, and the smallest area of open area of Har HaBayis was in the west. But the problem today, of course, is that the Temple Mount was increased in size vastly by Herod. Herod, if anyone's ever been to the Western Wall tunnels, which certainly could be recommended, very, very interesting. They give a little model at the very beginning that shows how King Herod increased the level of Har HaBayis and extended the area of Har HaBayis to be an area which is now around about 150,000 square meters. Whereas the actual Kedusha of Har HaBayis is more like 80 or 90,000 square meters. So it appears from that that there will be areas on Temple Mount which, technically speaking, do not fall within Har HaBayis. The question is, where are they and how to know and how to have any certainty? What's that? The Kotel is a retaining wall. But the question is, King Herod had no koyach to increase the Kedusha of Har HaBayis. Herod built the Kotel. And therefore, Herod had no, we'll see in Halacha how you create the Kedushas Har HaBayis, the Rambam Paskins in a minute, and Herod certainly did not have the capability to add on Kedusha to anything that Shlomo HaMelech had been Makadish previously. So the question is where exactly this area is. I've brought you on see in this little map here as follows. There are different understandings of exactly where the Beis HaMikdash was. The mainstream understanding is as follows. This is the one that most the poskim understand is the Ikka, is that the rock, the Evin HaShtzir, which is the rock which had the Aron Kodesh standing upon it, is the rock which currently is underneath the Dome of the Rock. Okay? If that is the case, and the rock underneath the Dome of the Rock is the Evin HaShtzir, then you end up with an orientation of the Beis HaMikdash, which is, I put in the picture in C here, where basically it goes from west through to the east, and encompasses that area there. And the Har HaBayis area, you see in the little diagram to the right of that, would be something like the black line that I've put around that building. Now that is very considerably smaller than the area of the Temple Mount, but that's not the only shita. There are other shitas. There are shitas that is to the north of there. There are shitas that is to the south of there. There are some shitas that the actual rock of the Dome of the Rock was actually under the Mizbeach and not under the Aron Kodesh. And therefore, because of the question and the sophic of exactly where things are, this is the reason why all the poskei zmanenu say that you cannot go up there, because exactly knowing where is a major problem. But in principle, it's very clear that there must be some areas, and we'll see in a minute, the Rambam explicitly before it says that there will be some areas which are not included in Har HaBayis, technically in Sizer Kedusha, but we have great difficulty knowing exactly where they are. Now this, of course, was completely irrelevant for most of history, because through most of history the Jews have not been allowed anywhere near Har HaBayis. When the Christians took over, the Romans, of course, took over after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by them. They took over the whole area. They left it as a pagan temple. And then when the Roman Empire became Christian, they left it as a ruin, as a churva, as a sign that they felt, Chas Shalom, that they had won, if you like, which is, of course, why the existence of the Yeshuv in Eretz Israel is very problematic for the Church, because it kind of defeats a lot of the basis of their theology. But that's not my problem or your problem, that's their problem, and they can deal with that themselves. But when the Muslims took over, of course, they rededicated this place, and they made a mosque. They made the Dome of the Rock, which was not a mosque, and they made the Al-Aqsa Mosque, etc. But for most of history, under the Muslims, the Jews were not allowed there anyway. There was a period of time where the Muslims did allow Jews access onto the Har HaBayis if they wanted to go there, up until around the 13th, 14th century. But after that, it was prohibited. The first person after that, non-Muslim, actually was this piece of interesting historical fact, that was allowed onto the Har HaBayis area was Prince Edward, the Prince of Wales, the son of Victoria, Queen Victoria, who in 1862 went on holiday to the Holy Land. And the Ottomans allowed him onto the Har HaBayis, and he later became King Edward VII. He was the first non-Muslim actually to go up there, and after him a trickle of people started to go back there. Of course, the British took the area in 1917, and the Jordanians took it back in 1948. But following 1967, when of course the Israeli army went up onto Har HaBayis and recaptured Har HaBayis, the Shiloh then has, if you like, come back into more of a potential, at least, as to who he is and who isn't allowed up there. Of course, you end up with chayalim up there, with soldiers up there, which because they have to be up there, and there are also interesting halakhas as to whether they have to go to the mikveh before they go. They have no choice, of course, they have to be there because the place is extremely volatile. But other people clearly have less reason, much less reason, to be up there. But that is a brief outline, if you like, of the historical possibility of people even being there. Have a look at source number 5. Because source number 5 and 6 is really where it all happens. And this is really wherein lies the major halakhic problem and the basis on which most of the poskim have always said it is prohibited. Good number 5. Says the Rambam, Ein mosifin ala ir, what do you need in order to expand the kedusha of the ir Yerushalayim? Ein mosifin ala ir va'al ha'azoras, ela alpi, you can only expand the kedusha of the city or the azoras through, you need 4 things. Alpi melech, va'alpi novi, Ba'urim v'tumim, va'alpi sanhedrin shel shivim ve'echad. You need a melech, you need a novi, you need the urim and the tumim, the kohen gadol, and you need a sanhedrin. Shivim ve'echad v'keinim, sh'ne'emar, and he brings a posuk. Moshe Rabbeinu melech. Moshe Rabbeinu had a status in halacha as a melech, and therefore when the Jewish people built the Mishkan, and later on Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, they had all of those things. They had a melech, they had a sanhedrin, they had an urim v'tumim, and they had the nevi in there. The Shaila is, what's with Ezra?
Are you talking about Yerushalayim or are you talking about Har Havayit?
Both the Ir Yerushalayim and the Kedusha of Har Havayit. They have different Kedushas, and in order to expand or create those Kedushas, you need this shopping list, if you like, of 4 things. Melech, Navi, Urim V'Tumim, and Sanhedrin, and Shlomo had those, but Ezra did not. Ezra was lacking the Urim V'Tumim, and Ezra was lacking the Melech. So the Shaila is, what's with Ezra and the second Beis HaMikdash? If you look in source number 6, the Rambam states as follows, and this really is the key makor. Kol makam shelo nasa b'chol elu, if you have a situation where you didn't have all these things, or k'seida hazeh, and this particular seder, ein kiddush gomor. It's not a proper kedusha. V'zeh she'asa Ezra shtei toides. And when Ezra goes, if you read in the Sefer Nehemiah, Ezra goes through a whole ceremony there where he rededicates the Har HaBayis and the Beis HaMikdash. Zikaranu, it was just a zeichah, if you like. She'asa loyba ma'asavnis kasha. Zikaranu she'asa. He did a zikaran. Loyba ma'asavnis kadesh hamokam. He didn't create the kedusha there. She'lo yahasham loy melech v'lo yorim v'tumim. As we just said, he lacked a melech and he lacked the urim v'tumim. What was the kedusha that Ezra managed to draw upon to create the second Beis HaMikdash? The kedusha Rishayna Shekisha Shlomo, the original kedusha that Shlomo put into the Beis HaMikdash area. Shehu Kiddush Azor Yerushalayim L'Shasan V'Kiddush La'Asid Lavoi. The Rambam's psak is very clear. The Kedusha Rishayna, this is the whole sugya, all the Rishak in different places, Kedusha Rishayna, Kitchela Sha'asa, the Kitchela Asid Lavoi, that Shlomo HaMelech introduced Kedusha to the Har HaBayis, which never went away. It doesn't matter whether the Har HaBayis was there, whether it was destroyed, the first, the second Beis HaMikdash, Adayom HaZeh, until this very day, the Kedusha is exactly the same as the Kedusha that Shlomo HaMelech created there. Therefore, when Ezra came, he actually didn't need to do anything halachically to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash, he just needed to make a kind of ceremony, really, to tell the people that this is a new beginning. However, that is not the end of the story. The Raivad comes in as follows. Have a carry on third line of number 6, and we'll see the Hasoga of the Raivad. Amar Avram, he says, Svarat Atmani? This is a Rambam Svarat? V'loyadati ma'in? I don't know where he got this from. The Raivad rejects this particular psalm. And he says, "I'm a manda ama kedusha rishona like kitchela asid lavoi." Okay, there is of course another manda ama. There is another view which says that the kedusha was not a permanent kedusha. Like halik ben amikdash Yerushalayim, the shara Eretz Yisrael. There's no difference between Eretz Yisrael and the rest of the Beis HaMikdash area. There is, he says, a view that says there is no kedusha there anymore. V'loyoid, and not only that. Elishani Oimer says the Rambam, I say Shafila le Rabbi Yosi, even Rabbi Yosi there in the sugyas, the Amar Kedusha Shnei Kitchel Shaita, Kitchel Asid Lavoi. Excuse me. Even Rabbi Yosi, who says that there is Kedusha La Asid Lavoi, Loi Amar Ela Lashar Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam Shita is he only said that for Eretz Yisrael. Aval Yerushalayim Ule Mikdash for Yerushalayim and the Beit Hamikdash. Loi Amar, he never said this. Lefisha Hayu Yodaya Ezra, Ezra knew full well Shah Mikdash for Yerushalayim Asidin Hishtanis, that the Mikdash in Yerushalayim would one day be changed. the format of the third Beis HaMikdash is quite different, if you read Chazal Yechezkel, from the layout of the two previous Beis HaMikdash. And then there'll be a permanent Kiddush when Mashiach comes, and the third Beis HaMikdash is built. I'm not entirely sure what he means by that. Kach nignali misoid Hashem li'reav. The Ravid, of course, was a very deep Kabbalist. I don't have access to an understanding of exactly what he's trying to communicate, but he's clearly disagreeing with the Rambam, and he says, Lefikach hanichnas ata l'sham, ein bo karas. Therefore, if the person goes up to Beis HaMikdash today, there's no karas. Because the Kedusha Rishoni was not the permanent Kedusha, and he rejects the view of the Rambam. Now, it's not clear from the Ravid whether he's saying there's no Kareis, but of course there's still an Issa Doraisa, or whether he's saying, look, there's no Kareis because there's no Kedusha, which is more possible. There's no Kareis, there's no Kedusha, because once it was destroyed, it's waiting for Mashiach to build the third Beis HaMikdash. This Ravid is the thing that really has made the whole question a little bit shakier. Because until this Ravid, there's nothing to talk about. What's going on? It's Chayv Kareis, you don't go close, you don't risk it. This Ravid is a question. If you look here on the source number 7, the Radvaz, couple of hundred years after the Ravid, was asked a Shaila. He says that he was asked as follows. People used to go onto roofs of buildings around the Har HaBayis area. Jews used to go there to look down on the Churva, to look down on the destruction, to mourn. They used to go on Tisha B'Av, they used to go during the year. And he was asked to Shaila, is this mutter or is this osser? Are we doing something which is prohibited or not? And he says as follows, and I've extracted this from a very long tshuva, and the truth is it needs a lot more attention to the exact its ins and outs, but have a look at number 7. He says, Mikol Mokum, Yeshli Letaitam the Minag, I want to give a reason for the Minag, Shenagu Kala Oilam La Alois Ba'oisam Aliyos, Lirois Misham Es Habayis, Kula. I want to give a reason for why people do go onto those roofs. We've never heard anybody having any problem with that. Da, he says, you should know. Ki ha-raivad zal soiva, the raivad holds. Ki ha-idna ein koreis l'misha niklas l'mikdash. That today there is no koreis for someone who goes into the mikdash. V'chein timzu ba'asaga perik shishim al-hilchas beis ha-bechira. You'll find that where we just saw it in source number 6. It wasn't so clear to the Raiva, to the Radvaz, exactly how he passed him. Passing like the Rambam, passing like the Radvaz, it was a machloikis. The Hadava Sofik, and the thing is a doubt. Shema Aliyas Eluheim Benuyas B'Mikdash Oiloi. Maybe these roofs are on the base of Mikdash, or maybe they aren't. Now, technically speaking, what the Radvaz is saying is there's a Sveik Sveika. He's saying there's a Sveik Sveika. On the one hand, there's a level of Sofik. The Rambam says there's still Kedusha on Har HaBayis. And the Raiva says there is no Kedusha on Har HaBayis, or at least there's no Koris. Let's not go further than he actually said. And on the other hand, there's a suffix. These particular roofs, maybe they are on Har HaBayis, maybe they aren't on Har HaBayis. I wouldn't say he was matir, but he explained the minhag of why people did this on the basis of the Sveik Sveika. This Radvaz is used by some to justify going on to Har HaBayis. But it's very, very difficult. Because this Radvaz, first of all, is not passing who like the Ravid. And secondly, he's dealing with an area which he says is outside, possibly, the area of the Makom HaMikdash. He's dealing with a Sveik Sveika, maybe yes, maybe no, maybe the Ravid, maybe the Rambam. He's clearly saying the Ravid is a Shita which has not been rejected completely, but to rely on this Radvaz to enter into the Makom HaMikdash in any way at all is very, very weak, and certainly is rejected, but it's a very interesting Radvaz because it does bring the Ravid's opinion into the mainframe, if you like, as to whether that is or is not Halacha Lamaisa. There is also a Meiri which I would mention, which is very problematic. The Meiri seems to indicate that people Mamash did go into the Makom HaMikdash. The Chavanish says the Meiri is a misprint, it's not correct, and he rejects it completely. There's a whole shaila as to how the Meiri works. The Chavanish was not somebody who held that the Meiri had the same forces as the other Rishonim. So he was discovered only later in Jewish history, in a century or so ago. So there's a whole shaila about the Meiri. I just mention it because it's out there. The Rambam himself, there's a very interesting and slightly enigmatic phrase. Have a look at number 8. The Rambam went to Eretz Yisrael in 1165. Okay, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. It was at the time a crusader town, Jews were persecuted very severely. The Crusaders were extremely antagonistic and killed many Yidden there in Yerushalayim. And when the Rambam went there, it was very difficult. But he says he paid a pilgrimage. He went there before he went and moved to Egypt. Eretz Israel only fell back into the hands of the Muslims in 1187, when Saladin took it over. But at the time when the Rambam went there, it was Christian. Have a look at number 8. He says, "V'yom haShlishi b'Shabbos, on Tuesday, Arba Yomim li'Areach Mar Cheshvan, in the Mar Cheshvan, Mishnas Chafvav, in the year 26, which was 1165, okay." The Yitzira, Yitzanu mi'aku Yerushalayim tachas sakana. We went, the Rambam writes, brought down Sefer Haredim. We went from Yerushalayim, from Akka to Yerushalayim, very dangerous roads. V'nichnafti lebayis hagodol v'hakodosh. V'hitpalalti boy, and I davened there. Boy b'yoyim chamish yamim li'reach ma'ashra. What's going on with the Rambam? The Rambam, who holds Kedusha Rishayna, Kishon Adon, Kishon Adelavoy. And the Rambam writes in his diary, that he went to Yerushalayim and he went to the Bayit HaGadol VaHakadosh. Now, he doesn't say that he wasn't the Beit HaMikdash. He doesn't say he's the Makom HaMikdash. It's hard to understand where else he could have gone. I mean, there wasn't a, you know, a big shul there at the time, thanks to Davin. But actually, this is not a problem at all. This is Mefurish in the Rambam, looking number 9. Again, so you can't make more of this Rambam than it actually is, because the Rambam says explicitly in Hilchos Beis HaBechira number 9, Atal Pi SheHamikdash Hayom Chorov, even though the Mikdash today has been destroyed, Ba'avoy Noiseinu, through our Averas, Chayav Adam b'moyroi. There are halachas that a person has to give moyre mikdash. K'moshe hayanoyik boy b'binyanoi. Just like the Har Habayis area had these halachas when it was constructed. Like kana se'ele lamokim shemutali kanis l'sham. You're only allowed today to go into a place where you're allowed to go. B'leil yashab azara, etc., etc. So he says that you're only allowed to go where you're allowed to go. Shabbos, what does he mean? Does he mean that there are parts of the Har Habayis that you are allowed to go, and there are times you're not allowed to go? Like we said before, that Herod made expanded the whole place, and that he had understandings of where those were. Or is he saying that actually you can only go if you're not a Kohen to this place, etc., etc.? It's not clear, and you can't really bring any clear riots from the Rambam in number 8, that's for sure. But he seems to understand that the Makom HaMikdash today, there are areas which are more and which are less, if you like, Mekudesh, to rely on any of these sources to go up there is clearly unreliable. Look at number 10, the sack of the Mishnah Brura is very explicit. Beis HaMikdash, v'hanichnas atel amokam mikdash, chayv koris. No playing around. Halacha l'maisa, you go up there today, chayv koris. Shekulanu tamei meisim, u'kedusha rishayna kitchel ashaitim kitchel atel avoy. Magid Avrom. So clearly that we're passing like the Rambam. The Ravid is an interesting exercise in Lomdus. We can discuss it in Lomdus, yes, no, space, etc. But the actual Pesach Lemaisa, and as I said at the beginning of the year, for clarity, the Pesach Lemaisa is very clear that going on to Har Habayit today is prohibited according to all Gedolei Yisrael and all Poskim. The last couple of sources, there is another separate issue, which is if a person were to go to Har Habayit today, let's say they were to say it's mutter, which, you know, it's not, but let's say they were to go there, they would have to go to the mikveh, because we said that the zavim and zavois and nidois and yoledes are not allowed on Har Habayit. Even if they were able to avoid all of the areas which are potentially svekas of being the inner areas where even a tamei mes is not allowed, there would still be a major problem as to how are you actually going to prepare yourself to go to Har Habayit then. I said this really is a halacha, really lemaisa, for soldiers who are required to go there. But for other people, what is a person going to do? Because without going into the details of Hilchos Mikvahs, many men's mikvahs are not constructed halachically with a view to Tefillah Doraisa. They're constructed on a limited budget, which is very nice for Tefillah Ezra, or for Kedusha to go to the mikvah on Rosh Hashanah, or in Kippur, on Erev Shabbos, etc. But men's mikvahs are not constructed with any kind of intention for them to have the Hidurim that you need for a Tefillah Doraisa. Therefore, even if a person were to try and attempt to go to the mikveh, it would be very difficult, unless you broke into a woman's mikveh or something like that. It wouldn't let him in, I suspect. But the men's mikveh is not going to help for most of these areas, and therefore this is another level, if you like, of problem as to even if a person did have a half a minute to go, what they would, how they would prepare themselves to do that. The last source, just in the last minute, on more of a hashkofa level, there is of course a political angle to all of this, which I'm absolutely not interested in getting into whatsoever. But the Mokam HaMikdash is mamash the center of the world. The whole world, you know, I suspect that Barack Obama, when he gets up in the morning over the next 4 years, one of the things that's going to be going through his head is, oi, what's going to be with the Mokam HaMikdash? Which is very interesting, and Chazal say this explicitly in number 13. Look at number 13. This is talking about the Yaakov, when he bought the Mokum of Shechem, the Mer Ksita, okay, when he bought that from the Canaanites there. Amar Rav Yudin Bar Siman, Zeh Echad Mishloishim Akoma She'ein Umata Oyman Yechalin La'inos Es Yisrael. There are three places in the world where the Goyim are not allowed, they're not entitled to say to us that you stole it. Loimer Gezulim Heim B'yedchem. It's stolen. The Elohim, and these are them. Maratha Machpela, Chevron, where Avram Avinu went in there and bought with good money. Ubeis HaMikdash, the Mokam HaMikdash, where David HaMelech went there and gave good money, 600 gold pieces to Arvana Achiti. And Ukfur Shel Yosef, and Shechem, and the place of Yosef. Says the Sei Chazal, there is no legitimacy at all for the Goyim in the world to ever turn around to us and say, these are disputed. And it's hard to think of three places in the world which are more disputed, and to show the chutzpah of the world, than these three places of Hebron, yes, just have to look at the news, okay, Maasa Machpela, then Hebron, and the Beit HaMikdash, and Kever Yosef, which of course has gone off the agenda a little bit, but was also a place of great kedusha where many Jews went to daven, and hopefully will be available at some stage in the future too, and therefore this is an ongoing saga. Hopefully these halakhic inyonim have enlightened us a little bit, but we should all daven that Bimheru V'Yameinu Goel Tzedek will come, this will all be a halacha, which is Lemaisa, and there'll be a Beis HaMikdash, and we'll be able to go there and bring our korbanos.